All right, we've got Simon on the line. Simon, young people, they're just all a bit lazy, aren't they?
What are you saying?
Welcome to McDonald's.
Can I get 6 minutes, please?
Of course. Some say young people are work-shy. But at McDonald's, we hired 47,000 of them last year.
Thank you very much. How's your night?
Like George here, who keeps things running during a Friday rush. Resilience. Making it happen at McDonald's.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Tuesday, April 7th. I'm Belle Lynn for The Wall Street Journal. In America's Tornado Alley, storms frequently rip through states like Oklahoma, Kansas, and Nebraska. We look at how meteorologists in the region are using drones to help close a critical gap in tracking the weather. Then, in San Francisco, the heart of America's AI boom, two of the world's most important tech companies are racing toward potentially record-breaking IPOs by the end of the year. We're taking an inside look at OpenAI and Anthropic's financials and what they tell us about what could be next for the two companies. But first, researchers are testing whether drones can capture real-time data that's essential for tracking storms and helping meteorologists forecast the weather. Michael Tabb reported on this for the Journal, and he joins us now to discuss how the tech works and why drones could become the new standard for collecting storm data. So, Michael, why are meteorologists using drones in places like Oklahoma?
A lot of the information that meteorologists look at for forecasting comes from ground stations. When you're looking for data on what's happening close to the ground, there are satellites that can tell you what's happening really high up in the atmosphere, but this middle region is really, really challenging to measure. So we have weather balloons that are launched from dozens of sites all over the country, but they're very spread out. So there are often hundreds of miles between these weather balloon launch sites, and they are only launched about twice a day. So there are major data gaps that impact how much meteorologists are really able to tell in fine detail what's going to happen. And this is actually a perfect area for unmanned aerial vehicles to really shine, because you can, for relatively low cost, launch systems to heights of 5,000 feet, perhaps 10,000 feet into the air, and really gather fine-tuned detail. The only challenges that some people run into are, one, the technology, but that's actually advanced a lot. Two is regulations. You don't want drones just flying really high up into the sky where they could collide with other vehicles. And third is budgets, because someone does need to pay for these vehicles.
How much does one of these drones cost, especially as compared to a weather balloon?
A weather balloon is not too expensive. They'll often cost several hundred dollars, but they are one-time use. So they'll be filled with helium or hydrogen, and they'll be released. Then they'll reach about 100,000 feet, then pop. You usually don't get them back. And these drones are much more expensive than that, but one of the main perks is that they're reusable. So on the high end, it costs about $100,000 or more. On the cheaper end, it costs about $30,000 to $40,000.
From an aerial or bird's eye drone's point of view, how much of an impact could these drones actually make in weather forecasting?
Everyone I talked to said they really think that this will be revolutionary when it comes out at broader scales. We have so many gaps in what we know about the weather. And a lot of that is because we just don't get the kind of granular data that a lot of forecasters think could really bring us to a generational update in what we know about the sky. If you only have weather balloons that are launched from sites 200 miles apart twice a day, you can have, meteorologists told me, dozens of storm systems that pass that a weather balloon never even samples at all. And so if you're able to use these kinds of systems to gather more dense data, you could really have not only better models, so better ways of incorporating data that we are able to collect, but you can have really fine-tuned data that tell you not just that there will be perhaps a tornado sometime in the next day, but It might happen not at 1 p.m., but at 3 p.m. So you can plan your life according to that, particularly in areas of the country that are prone to these kinds of disasters.
That was the WSJ's Michael Tabb. What would more accurate weather forecasts mean for you? If you're a listener on Spotify, leave us a comment with your thoughts. Coming up, the financial performance of private companies is often a closely guarded secret. But we got a look at OpenAI and Anthropic's financial data, including how much cash the two AI companies expect to spend on computing power and how much revenue they're expecting to bring in. That's after the break. OpenAI and Anthropic are two of the most closely watched companies in the world, not just because they're on the cutting edge of AI, but also because they're both expected to make their public market debuts before the end of the year. We got an inside look at the confidential financial documents that both companies shared with investors ahead of their latest funding rounds. Taken together, they provide a view into how these labs are trying to make the economics of AI work and just how much cash they're spending on computing. News Corp, owner of The Wall Street Journal, has a content licensing partnership with OpenAI. WSJ reporter Berber Jin joins us now to break down the numbers. So, Berber, why is the cost of compute a sort of Achilles heel for both OpenAI and Anthropic?
It costs an incredible amount of money to train new versions of AI models. And the bigger kind of problem that these companies are facing is that the cost of compute actually goes up over time in order to make each AI model smarter than the last. OpenAI, they're set to spend around $120 billion in 2028 just on R&D, essentially, for their models. And so it's an Achilles heel in the sense that no other publicly traded company in history has ever had to spend this much money on research and development. And neither company can really afford to pull back meaningfully on that because their products are only good as the models that power them. And so if they fall behind on the research side, almost certainly they fall behind on the business side as well.
So if we were to compare OpenAI and Anthropic for a moment, who is spending more in compute to train their models?
OpenAI is projected to spend way more than Anthropic in the coming years training AI models. And this was the most perplexing thing for me, at least, because on the face of it, they are very similar businesses. OpenAI is just taking a much more aggressive posture when they basically say, we want to set aside as much money as possible on training. Whereas Anthropic, at least from what we see with the financials, is taking a little bit more of a conservative approach.
Let's look at the revenue side of the house for a moment. OpenAI and Anthropic are both extremely fast-growing businesses, but who is earning more in revenue, and where does that revenue come from?
OpenAI is definitely the bigger business right now, and for the forecast we have for both companies, OpenAI expects to still be a bigger business in terms of revenue by the end of the decade. And OpenAI's big advantage is that they have a really big consumer business that basically took off just because they had that viral moment with ChatGPT. But interestingly, right now in the AI race, enterprises are paying a lot more money for AI. So right now, OpenAI looks like they're still going to be the bigger business, but obviously these are projections. And a lot of investors are chattering about a world in which Anthropic maybe overtakes OpenAI in terms of revenue sooner than anyone would have anticipated a year ago.
And as you were looking at these financial documents from both OpenAI and Anthropic, was there anything else that took you by surprise or was rather unexpected?
Yeah, I think the most surprising thing is just how much more money OpenAI is set to spend on research and development in general than Anthropic. And I think that's actually a reflection of also the personalities of the CEOs. Like Sam Altman has signed hundreds of billions of dollars of cloud contracts and other deals that would add to OpenAI's compute capacity. And that raised the question amongst Wall Street investors about whether OpenAI would be able to pay for it. And so it's high risk, high reward for OpenAI because you can see a world in which that gives them an edge, right? If they're putting a lot more money into training, they should have better models than Anthropic, and that should in turn give their products an advantage. But it's also really risky because it means that if they go public, as they're expected to, they have to just constantly be raising money to make up for the massive amounts of cash that they're going to burn every year. And it's tough as a public company because public market investors care about growth above anything else. So if the narrative turns on OpenAI as a public company, like, they're probably going to have to change their strategy when it comes to how much they spend. Otherwise, the numbers show that they literally will go out of business.
Indeed, definitely a gamble. If we were to pull back a little bit, what kind of conclusions can we draw about the financial health of both OpenAI and Anthropic?
There isn't any other business that we've seen in the history of Silicon Valley in that they are set to burn more money than an OpenAI in particular, but both than almost any other public company on the planet. But they also are growing extraordinarily quickly. Both companies are on track to more than double revenue this year. And if everything goes according to plan for these companies, they will capture a lot of the economic upside behind the broader adoption of AI tools. But, you know, like any other Silicon Valley startup that is in that position, it's always a question of how much investors buy the growth, how long can the market accept this type of cash-burning business model, will sentiment turn on AI? Those are all the questions that are even a little bit out of the control of OpenAI and Anthropic, but will very much determine their fates.
That was WSJ reporter Berber Jin. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. If you're a listener on Spotify, be sure to leave us a comment. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Katie Ferguson. Logging off, I'm Bell Lin for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back later this morning with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.